Behind the numbers, what role is manufacturing playing in our job growth?
This Marketplace podcast is brought to you by Gazelle.com. Gazelle buys the used iPhones, iPads, Macs, smartphones, and other gadgets from your home or office, so you can upgrade to the latest versions of your favorite gadgets. Find out what your gadget is worth at Gazelle.com. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The markets are closed today, but the government is open, so the Labor Department will be releasing the all-important March jobs report in a few hours. It'll tell us how many jobs were created last month and what the new unemployment rate is. Economists are expecting around 210,000 new jobs were added. And some of that will likely come from another strong month for manufacturing in this country. Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now to talk about that. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, Chris, we've all heard about manufacturing as a bright spot in our economic recovery. How much of a role is that sector playing in our job growth right now?
It's playing a huge role. Over the past 2 years, we've added over 400,000 factory jobs. And, you know, you get these major multinational corporations like Ford, General Electric, United Technologies. They're adding jobs here in the U.S. So it's a bright spot in an economy that's been recovering, but it's a moderate recovery, not particularly exciting, but the factory sector is really working.
And when these companies add manufacturing jobs here in this country, are they bringing these jobs back from places like China?
Well, this has captured a lot of attention because we have this phenomenon called inshoring. So a manufacturing plant may not add workers in China or put workers in China, but instead add here in the U.S. or even bring jobs from China to the U.S. So you're seeing GE doing that and Ford doing that, Masterlock, all-clad manufacturers. Part of it is you want to be close to your market. You don't want to be carrying a lot of inventories. Then there's the high price of oil, rising wages in China. So there's a number of factors that are making manufacturing in the United States more attractive.
And are we getting high-end manufacturing jobs like they have in Germany?
Yes, we basically are getting good manufacturing jobs because, you know what? Despite the fact that our wages are more competitive on a global basis, we're still pretty expensive. So this is the kind of manufacturing that uses a lot of computers. You need a lot of knowledge. You're hiring educated workers to operate these factory lines. And the really cheap stuff, it's still overseas.
All right. Big picture, Chris. How much of our workforce is now in manufacturing? And how does that compare to, say, the peak of manufacturing in the U.S.?
Oh, we're way down. I mean, look, manufacturing is great. These are good jobs, but it's only about 9% of our workforce, 12 million people. 1979, you know, the era of smokestack America, 20 million. Hmm. So this is good. It's good news. It adds a lot of jobs. You know, you add a factory worker. There's other jobs that get added elsewhere in the economy, but it's never going to be a major job engine in the end.
Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Well, now to some jobs that might be put on hold tomorrow night. 40,000 AT&T workers are set to strike if the company can't reach an agreement with their union. Marketplace's Eve Troe reports.
These are old-school AT&T workers, the ones who shimmy up phone poles or discuss your long-distance bill. And they have an old-school union, the Communications Workers of America. It's covered them.
Oh, probably since the very early 1940s.
Union spokeswoman Candace Johnson. She says AT&T made huge profits the past few years, but it's outsourced jobs and failed to hire much-needed staff.
Forced overtime, seven-day-a-week schedules, 12 hours or more every day has become the rule.
The union also doesn't want wages to go down or healthcare premiums to go up. AT&T wants to control costs as it faces competition. The company says it's prepared for a strike. It's training other workers, including managers, to fill in.
It's not really going to work.
Norwood Orrick is a union phone worker in Tampa, Florida. He fixes landline and wireless cables. He says if, say, bad weather strikes down a connection, guys like him can fix it fast. But
that's something that the managers will be running around in circles trying to figure out what to do.
Read your AT&T contract, and you'll likely see the company's not liable for problems caused by a strike. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are closed across Europe this morning for the holiday. The online radio company Pandora says it saw a 59% increase in listenership in the past year. Its stock, on the other hand, dropped 19% last month. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 14 points to close at 13,060.
The
This Marketplace podcast is brought to you by Gazelle.com. Gazelle buys the used gadgets from your home or office, such as iPhones, iPads, iPods, Macs, or smartphones, so you can upgrade to the latest versions. At Gazelle.com, see what your used gadget is worth. Then mail it to Gazelle for free. Gazelle pays for the shipping, and you'll get paid fast. Gazelle helps you upgrade to the latest gadgets faster and gives you value for the used gadgets you replace. Find out what your used gadgets are worth at Gazelle.com. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it.
It's been a big week for morning TV shows. NBC had Sarah Palin on as a guest host. ABC brought in Katie Couric, and CBS had an interview with Oprah. Reporter Elizabeth Wynn Johnson tells us why the morning shows are so important to the networks.
NBC's Today Show is a ratings juggernaut, averaging almost 5 million viewers a week. This week, it added a familiar face.
Oh, honey, come here. I told you, Tina Fey is here.
Not Tina Fey. It is Sarah Palin, and we'll have much more.
Meanwhile, over on ABC.
Hi, everyone. I'm Katie Couric, and I'm thrilled to say good morning, America.
And we are.
These morning talk shows account for a big chunk of the network's ad revenue. Industry watchers estimate the Today Show brought in more than $450 million last year, with GMA at some $314 million. Analyst Brian Bueno with the research firm Ibis World says morning shows command a premium from advertisers.
Because they are live and people don't skip through commercials.
The rise of social media opens up other ways to get people talking about you. Sherri-Ann Brill is a veteran audience analyst.
You want people who tweet, who are on Facebook, to have that whole social media machine going as well.
But it always comes down to ratings. And this week ends with number one Today and number two GMA, pretty much where they started. In Washington, I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson for Marketplace.
And finally, we say goodbye this morning to a key member of our team here at the Marketplace Morning Report. Jolie Podokas is our director and has had her hand in just about everything you've heard on the show over the last couple of years. Most recently, she did an outstanding job producing our election coverage from her home state of Michigan. The good news is she's not going far. She'll be a producer with Marketplace's new Wealth and Poverty Desk, and they are lucky to have her. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.